Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, even if the Steelers lose to the Ravens, guys, they still control their own fate in the AFC North. All they would have to do is win their final two games against the Chiefs and the Bengals. So there is a little bit of leeway there. If you're unsure about a guy like Pickens or a guy like TJ Watt and you want to just hold off and rest them, you could do that and still win the division if you win your last two games.
All right, welcome in to another edition of Pony and Muller. Charlie Borges producing back in Green Tree. T-Bird, the winner of our hot dog eating contest. A man that has a big appetite because he smokes so much marijuana. Posted up with us here at Mike's Beer Bar. This is one of our big events of the year, a Christmas karaoke night. It's become a fan favorite. This place will be packed by the time we get towards 7 o'clock. Pat Fryermuth expected to make a cameo here. They're already getting everybody in the mood down here by playing holiday favorites from Bob Marley, Buffalo Soldier, blasting through here.
Because when you think Christmas.
Yeah, when you think Christmas, you think Nat King Cole, Perry Cuomo, and Bob Marley.
Right. I agree with you on that. Like, I think he's one of the songbirds of this time of year.
White Christmas, Blue Christmas, No Woman, No Cry.
Green Christmas in his case, I think. Very green Christmas.
T-Bird knows what we're talking about. Yeah, good crowd already trickling in. Peyton over here is a student over at Point Park. He's an aspiring sportscaster. So he wanted to come see the show in person. He's wearing a TJ.
Good shirt. I think it's one of those like
one
strip
punch
district.
Watt.
Yeah, is it like a strip district special right there? That does not look like authorized team apparel.
His mom said meat district.
Meat district.
Yeah. Meat district special.
Mm. Yeah. One Punch Watt's a good nickname, though.
I'm telling you, they're going to outlaw that play.
You're convinced that it's going to start fist fights in games.
Well, it did. But hey, three or four plays later, what happened with the Eagles game? Punches started flying, and Mike Tomlin got an explanation from the officials on Hard Knocks last night where they said he was knocking his arm away. It was not a punch.
BS.
And then they cut out the best part, which goes to show you the show stinks.
I forgot to watch it again last
Chris,
night.
That's fine.
Well, here's why. Because if like we knew that there was something seismic that was going to happen, like their teaser, like and some of the like advanced reports on the show trickled out that you're going to definitely want to see this. There's some of the wilder stuff ever. It just passes with a total whimper. I'll make this admission: we're very much football focused right now. I was way
pro football focused.
Oh, definitely. You give me a grade on that, it's like a 94.6. Or 93.7, perhaps.
How about Barber football
focus? Oh, yes. Barber football focus has big takes, big opinions. I was way more into the Penguins seeing if they could rally in that game, honestly.
You know what I did last night?
They're, like, bizarrely competent again.
I went to watch Robert Morris play Towson, a little early Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Showdown. Well, I go there. Kevin Colbert's there. Guy over at Oakmont came up and started talking to me about stuff. I should have gotten his name, and I should have remembered his role there, but he seemed like a big deal. He was courtside. And first half, they got blown out. I said, I want to go watch Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Silly me. I leave, they come back, and they win. They erased a 15-point deficit and won at the buzzer, basically.
I mean, does that further not... evidence of the pony jinx being real. You are just, you are a colossal mush. People should contract you out. You, what's that movie with William H. Macy, The Cooler, where, like, casinos send him to guys who are going on hot streaks at the tables?
That.
Yeah, he's like, and he is supposed to be the cooler. His mere presence cools off the table.
Can we talk about what Ray said there regarding this game? Because I am getting the sense that this game is not a big game.
In what way? Like, in the way people are talking about, like, it's not a big game for the Steelers?
Well,
or...
yeah, because now you're hearing not only fans, but media and people that cover the team kick the can down the road and say, well, actually, if they lose this game, they're still technically in first place because they'll still have the tiebreaker with the Ravens. And as he put it, Ray said, all they would have to do is beat Kansas City and Cincinnati in the last 2 weeks and win the division.
Ah, yes, child's play.
As if beating the team that's only lost one time this year and has won the last two Super Bowls is all they have to
do. On 3 days rest from the 3 days after they play the Ravens or whatever, 3 days rest after they play the Ravens.
They still control their own fate. I'm looking at this game as sell out to win this one and then kind of rest up and pace yourself over the next two games and get this in your pocket now, mm-hmm. guarantee it, and then you can figure out what you want to do with Kansas City and Cincinnati after that. Not, well, let's kind of tiptoe into this game or proceed with caution, and hey, if we lose it, it's not actually the end of the world at all because we'll still have these next two games. We'll have to win both, and there is, even though their defense is an abomination, there is always the chance that Joe Burrow just lights you up because he's having probably the best season of any quarterback in the NFL, not named Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson this year. But, hey, what the hell? The next two games are really very winnable, and they'll be fine in the end if they take that tact in this game.
Yeah, strictly viewed through that like sort of prism of how people are poo-pooing this game, I couldn't disagree more. This is – don't you always want to take the path of least resistance in almost any situation? And that's not to call the Ravens a bad team or a team that, like, is the least resistance, but it's winning one game to get where you want to go as far as getting the division and securing a home game versus having to win two. What is greater there, two or one? What's the greater number?
Two.
Okay. Since the beginning of time, since the first time they came up with those Arabic numerals or whatever, I think that's the ones we use, not Roman numerals, definitely not. Two is greater than one. I'd rather win one game to win the division than lose that game and then have to win two if I wanted to win the division. And I know we had a very lengthy and entertaining time talking yesterday, discussion about, like, does the division matter? Strictly speaking, like, taking out of consideration what do you need for this to be a successful season, just what does the division mean to them in practical terms? Yeah, it still matters. This game still matters. It's, again, a de facto division title game right now for the Steelers, not for the Ravens. Ravens have to win to stay alive. Like, it absolutely is not a game that I would be poo-pooing. You know, you could do that with the Eagles game for a couple of reasons. It's inter-conference, so it just by nature does not matter nearly as much. You only see that team again if you both make it to the Super Bowl.
And we knew the whole time that if they lost that game, all they would need to do is beat the Ravens to win the division.
It never was going to change the stakes of this game. And then you also knew going in, I don't think this is an excuse because it's different players every time, but just historically they have struggled there. And you also knew going in that George Pickens wasn't going to play. Now, you've got injuries, and Pickens might not play again, depending on which Post-Gazette beat writer you listen to. Brian Batko thinks he will. Jerry Dulac thinks he won't. T.J. Watt, who knows? They seem optimistic about him. But
everybody,
like,
seems optimistic about Watt, not so much on Pickens.
Pickens, right. Okay, my point is, you don't just poo-poo this game because you're dinged up, because you think you can't win the game as a result of being dinged up. This is the team that you have shown like a very odd mastery over. Like, you have won 8 of 9, I believe it is now. You actually elicited a bad performance from Lamar Jackson. Not an asterisk one where his receivers dropped passes. Not one where he wasn't playing because they had already sewn things up. The last time he saw you, he played one of his worst games in like 2 years. Probably his worst game of the year other than maybe the Philly game. Like, you should absolutely treat this game like a priority because it is very much the path of least resistance to getting to where you want to go. It's wild to me that people would – you know what the downplaying feels like? We already kind of get this sense that the Steelers are going to lose, so we're going to preemptively de-emphasize the game. And so when they lose the game, it's no big deal. They were wounded. They'll be healthier for Kansas City and Cincy.
Which is what I did with Philadelphia, but I can't do that in back-to-back
yeah,
weeks.
Miss me. I thought Philly was more meaningful in terms of being a measuring stick game. It didn't go well, and I kind of opined as much. Miss me with the idea that because maybe you're getting this nagging feeling that you're going to lose to the Ravens and that maybe Jackson finally finds his level for once against you and plays like Lamar Jackson, that you can de-emphasize it. Absolutely not,
it's
man. That's a loser mentality, as a matter of fact, going into
wow.
it. Wow. Like, I'm not saying, like, Ray is a loser, woo! Or people saying this are losers, but it just reeks of loser mentality. You know, there's always a get them next week. I didn't really like it from Tomlin coming out of the Eagles game, man.
Well, he must have been listening to me because it was...
He just did the ho-hum, it's one game, let's not overreact.
He said, let's not be dramatic.
You got your lunch money stolen by a team. Like, if it's a measuring stick, how good are you? You got your lunch money taken.
He did call it the state championship game, and it did
look like Philly schools versus Whipple this year. I don't know, man. This game is not the same as that. I will even admit that game could be looked at in a certain light. Not this one.
It's crazy that somebody would say, you can hold them off and rest them if you want. When we're talking about effing Steelers-Ravens, and not just for, like, the pride of a rivalry game and doing what they do in college football where you want to plant your proverbial flag and say, hey, we beat you again.
Yeah.
It literally locks up a home playoff game. Tomlin is 5-4 at home, I want to say, in the playoffs all time. And he absolutely has a losing record on the road. So even in that sense, it's the path of least resistance, not even knowing who their opponents are, what they would have to do from there.
It's a head scratcher.
I'm trying to get into the psychology of why people would be okay with that. Like, hey, you know, they're not completely healthy. Let's not treat this like a quasi-playoff game or close to it and just live to fight another day or play another day and move on to the next game. I said that before Philadelphia, but that was because I thought this game meant that much. It was to absolutely prioritize this game, and now people are trying to de-emphasize.
What are we going to get to if they keep losing these games all the way through to the wild card game? It doesn't mean that much, this wild card playoff game.
Well, actually, if the Ravens are an underdog against the Texans on Christmas, so if they lose to Houston and the Steelers somehow lose to the Chiefs, then you'll still be fine and you can really load up for the Cincinnati game in Week 18.
You make a very nice recovery statement if, even without George Pickens necessarily, you win this game after you just got, like, basically clowned by Philadelphia. You make a very nice statement. You secure a home playoff game. You win the division. You do all that stuff. And then you have the actual legitimate opportunity, if you want to rest whoever you want, and for how much ever you want over the last 2 weeks, because at that point, as a four-loss team, there probably isn't that much to play for.
412-928-9370 is our telephone number. I don't know where you are right now, but you should get down here to Mike's Beer Bar. We're doing our show until 6, and then the festivities really get ratcheted up with our Christmas karaoke event. Pat Fryermuth is scheduled to come down here and be a part of it. Crowley was in, I think, the Glee Club at Mount Lebanon. Did you know that?
I did know he was actually in the Glee Club, yeah.
I don't know why, but that really, like, tickles my funny bone.
What's wrong with
your
the Glee
big
Club?
Fan? Yeah, what is wrong with it, though?
It's just like Crowley having to do, because you know, like, the kind of way you, like, if you were in the Glee Club, I have a hard time picturing you, like, trying to be, like, this overtly, like, over-the-top, smiley, energetic.
Right.
Spreading cheer while singing person. And it's just humorous to picture him.
Don't you think,
that.
Knowing him the way you do, don't you think he tried to do it to meet chicks? That had to be like his
It really makes him sound like a horn dog.
I mean, you would put out like basically like a town crier style Facebook message to every girl in your Facebook.
Yeah, but I was in
friend
college.
List.
When you're 15 years old, I think it's a little bit different, no?
So you weren't the same way when you were 15 or 16? Give me a break.
I was someone who had those thoughts but never actually acted on them, really, is what it comes down to.
Well, it sounds like Crowley was an early bloomer there and was joining the Glee Club to try to have Glee put another kind of smile on his face.
Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. We've just obtained video from Steelers practice. We'll tell you how Pickens and Watt looked when we come back. First, a headline. We are live at Mike's Beer Bar for our Christmas karaoke event. I think this is our third annual. It's been a hit every year. Pat Freiermuth expected to show up for this one. Singing a duet with Adam Crowley, the Malzy the Snowman song made its debut today. We played a snippet of that yesterday before it was a finished product. Now it's gone worldwide. You let out a sigh there, Chris. You're not a fan of it?
No, what did I, no. Early responses to me just saying, what did I do to deserve this, and posting the video are pretty good if we're being honest, this song. Why is former Capitals GM George McPhee mentioned prominently in this?
I thought they made a big error in the whoever the songwriter was. He's Starkey. Not exactly Bob Dylan. Because instead of McPhee, why not nine straight threes?
Great call.
Can't you play off of that much better?
They did discuss that, and Starkey admitted fault.
There you go.
Okay, good.
I didn't even know that.
Good. Pomp, I got to be honest, Pomp's mic modulation, not great. The three ladies from the sales department singing,
yeah,
they do a good job. Now, Gwyn is kind of the leader of that band.
Well, she's a pro.
And she's an actual, like, singer-songwriter by trade on the side. That's, like, her passion. So she does a very good job. And then it was Jenna, and I am going to be very embarrassed. The other...
Jules?
No, the other young lady from the sales assistant. Greta? Thank you.
Veronica?
No, he literally just said Greta.
Greta.
They did a nice job singing backup. Greta Van Fleet.
The name.
Greta Thunberg. I think she's like an environmental activist.
Yeah.
Is Greta making a comeback, though?
We'll play the song a little bit later on in the show. They just posted video. Thank you. They just posted video of Steelers practice.
Yes.
Have you seen it yet?
I saw Pickens kind of moseying around. I saw Watt doing, like, high knees.
I think Watt looks hobbled. My naked
was
eye...
Was it the him running on the side?
Yeah, watch it and see if it looks natural to you, if it looks like a fluid movement.
I'm going
to
watch it again, because I
As
watched it
As a man that's had a meniscus tear and knows how hobbled feels, does
yes.
it look like it's a easy
An easy gait?
Yes.
Like, his gait is relaxed? All right, I'm going to do... gait analysis right here. Now, Pickens looks like he's moving.
I agree.
Quick twitch.
And that's
no, Watt looks like a little labored and awkward there.
Labored.
He
you
looks
went
like
labored,
he's,
I went hobbled.
Well, he looks like a man who's not putting all of his weight on the injured leg. In this case, the injured ankle.
So
yeah, you're right. I didn't really think of that, but you're right. Now, there he is squatting down on that leg, though.
Yeah, but you don't squat down in games, Chris. You run hard in games. It's the running, it's the moving around that I'm concerned about. I mean, I bet the guy could still squat 500 pounds, but they're not asking him to do that on Saturday against the Ravens.
No, they're asking him to chase down Lamar Jackson.
Yes, the fastest quarterback. I almost said running back, which our old boss Craig Riley would have loved.
Wait, our old boss Craig Riley?
Well, our old producer is what I meant to say, yeah.
He's still very much our boss.
Oh, he is, yeah. He has, don't you think he has hotter takes on Jackson than I do?
His takes on Jackson are like molten, and he actually, somewhat unlike you, you can occasionally be swayed. If Jackson were to go out and throw for three Bills, three touchdowns, and just lead the Ravens to a decisive win and play a flawless game, you would through gritted teeth, but you would say he was great, he was the reason the Ravens beat the Steelers, got to tip my cap. Craig would say something like, yeah, did you see all the crap holes that they got away with? He was a complete fraud again today. Like, Craig just, he'll dig in on an opinion and never let go.
So, from that video, it looks like Pickens could come back and play. We'll see where he is on the practice report. One of the talk show hosts who works in our family of stations had an idea on what the Steelers should do to make up for the loss of George Pickens if he can't play.
Now, this is not our station. It's just in the Odyssey family.
Did that give it away the way that I said it?
Yes.
Yeah. You got me.
Is it Adam Shine?
No. It's somebody who works in our building.
Is it Chris Mack?
No.
Is it Colin Dunlap?
No.
Is it Marty Griffin?
No.
Is it Kelly from 100.7 Star?
It is not.
Is it Jules from What I Want to Wait?
I just brought her up earlier, no.
Is it Kale Berger?
Uh-uh.
Hold on. I'll
All
get
good
there.
Guesses.
I'll get there. Is it Larry Richard?
No.
Hold on.
Is it Bubba?
Is it Kiki from Wham-O?
No.
Is it Malaysia from Wham-O?
Most of these people all have opinions on sports and used to talk about
it. I'm going, like, it's actually kind of impressive that I am 0 for this many. Like, I've named damn near every person I could name here.
Rob Pratt.
Yes!
Get out of here.
Because he posted it on Facebook. Charlie's got to find this for us if he can.
He said, you know, when it comes to replacing George Pickens, Cash is king.
He's like, I got the best idea, and they should do it, and it would be controversial, but it's the right move for a team that wants to win a Super Bowl.
Bring back Deontay?
No. Even more explosive.
Bring back AB?
Yes.
Did Rob deliver this opinion while sitting unbelievably calmly in a chair?
If he can get, like, in an
empty recording studio, just calmly narrating to a camera?
If he can get Trump elected in Pennsylvania, he can get the
Is
Steelers.
Is that what Rob said?
I think so.
Getting the Steelers to the playoffs will be a mere formality.
So, it is obviously crazy, but there was one very compelling aspect of it for me in this harebrained, zany.
AB last played in a football game in what, 2022?
When he ran off the field.
What year was
naked.
That though?
That was Brady's
final year, which
Charlie,
was 22.
You're a Bucs fan. When was that?
That would have been 2022, the 2022 season, because Brady almost made it back to the NFC title game the year after they won the Super Bowl, and then he had the rougher
that's right.
year.
It's because Todd Bowles didn't cover Cooper Kupp.
Yes, because Mitch Trubisky beat him, came off the bench to beat him in 2022, Kenny's rookie year.
This was the take from Rob. He said, the guy would have to get like up to football playing speed. But in all honesty, do you think Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, or Mike Williams are actually better than Antonio Brown, even right now?
No.
Me neither.
No, of course not.
How could anybody say that?
Doesn't AB strike you for all his like craziness as somebody who probably is like on the side just randomly staying in football shape too? Like, or close to it?
From the videos I've seen.
He doesn't look like he's put on the pounds.
No, but I would guess he's not in football shape whatsoever.
How long would it take him to get back to that? A couple weeks?
Could he get there in time for the playoffs?
Yeah. What if you brought him back and actually did it and did this, and then Pickens was healthy and just those two personalities in that locker room? You want to talk about typhoon and earthquake in WWE.
Here was the other part. Here was the other thing Rob said. He's like, maybe AB could mentor George Pickens and say, hey, you don't want to be me.
Ah, yes,
you
AB
don't
with that.
Up like me.
Yes, AB, that self-aware, introspective quality that's always been in abundance with him. Like, yes.
Like they used to do Scared Straight, where they take delinquent kids.
AB runs into George Pickens' apartment and screams at him to wake up.
Yeah.
Pratt is just an unbelievable.
We gotta find
artist.
The audio of it.
I went on his Facebook page, but it's literally just video after video after video of him at Coons Market. That's it.
The man does love his Coons Market. There's no doubt about it.
Listen, Pony, you've been in this town for almost two decades now. Rob has been partnered with Coons Market for damn near as long as I have been alive.
I love Rob. I think it's...
He gave me a half-eaten chicken sandwich once and said, here, I got this for you.
Wait, what?
I'm not kidding. It was at the home improvement show at the...
So he had already taken
center.
A couple chomps out of it and then handed it off
so
to you?
So he ate half, and then I could definitely tell he didn't want the other half, and he said, here, I got this for you.
Did he cut it in half with a knife
or
and
were
eat the half?
Marks
or were, yeah, were
it
there
looked
rounded
like it was ripped in half. So
like, so he had not bitten into it. He had just, like karate style, ripped it in half.
That's still hilarious.
He Mr. Miyagi'd the chicken sandwich and gave me the other half.
All right.
And he wants AB back. Why don't we bring back Le'Veon Bell while we're at it?
Because in this situation, I mean, I don't know.
Is Mark Bruner available?
Here's the crazy thing about what he said. Like, Le'Veon, I do think, is actually shot.
Oh, of course. He was shot when he went to the Jets.
I do think if AB's head was actually screwed on straight, he could still be good.
So do I. I mean, we're talking about, conservatively, one of the five best receivers of the last 35 years.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Tyler Kennedy on a Penguins team that's technically in the playoffs right now, but first a headline.
Mr. Kennedy!
Here comes Bunting. Raquel dangling around Deneau. Passes back to Carlson. Snap shot deflected. They score! The Penguins come all the way back. Ricard Raquel tips it past Kemper, and you can lock the doors and turn out the lights because the Penguins have won this game in overtime.
Who was in the background there behind Getzlaf channeling their Mike Lang, or was that the over the – was that like the inside the arena?
And it was just picked up on his feed? I don't know. I couldn't tell. I had the same kind of thought that it just sounded somewhat unusual there.
Ottawa came back and won last night, so the Penguins are not in a playoff spot right now, but they're only 1 point out.
They've climbed up a little bit in points percentage as well in the conference.
Move past the Flyers, the Rangers, who suck right now.
Ooh, do they ever.
And the Islanders in the Metro Division.
7-2-1 in their last 10 games.
How do you like them apples? Speaking of apples, Tyler Kennedy handed out a lot of assists in his career. A lot more than Adam Crowley, who apparently, according to our playlist for our karaoke event tonight, is going to be performing Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby.
What? What? Get out of
that
here.
That is going to get very awkward.
Eartha Kitt has been deceased since 2008. She might rise tonight and beat the snot out of Crowley for singing that song. And she, you know, if it was possible.
Isn't that like a song that, like, isn't that about like a woman trying to get
seduce
a guy?
Santa?
Yeah. And now Crowley's going to sing that?
I thought so. I thought that that's what that song was about.
Penguin Stanley Cup champ Tyler Kennedy back with us. TK, any thoughts on that?
I'm hoping you guys take a video and send it to me or tag me so I can have a little, you know, I'm just piling.
Consider it done.
I'm just piling and I'm putting it in the back pocket for a later date for Crowley.
You know how you guys might have, like, scout? Granted, you probably did it on, like, tablets and iPads, but you used to have, like, maybe an old scouting file on a player, like, this is what this guy likes to do, blah, blah, blah. I hope by the end of this year, the file you have on Crowley is just, like, it's, like, bulging at the seams. The papers are going to spill everywhere because you've got so much dirt on this guy.
Tyler, Crowley also said today that he's read every Harry Potter book at least 5 times.
Wow. Very interesting. It'd be like, so in the NHL, they send you your shifts on an iPad and they use like apps like Huddle and all these, you know, but everyone gets their shifts from the whole year. That's what I'm looking for, Crowley. That's what I'm looking for. So we go back maybe in July or June, you know, I go through the whole playlist and we start knocking them off.
Tyler, give us the biggest reason why the Penguins have won 7 of 10.
Playing simple with the puck. I feel like they're not going east-west as much anymore, and they're just going north-south. Like, what I loved about last night is they were chipping the puck in and going and getting it. It was such a nice, you know, it was so nice to watch because I was like, this is how they need to play to be successful. None of this trying to make all these moves at the blue line. They were chipping it in, being first on pucks, and I think that's the biggest difference. That neutral zone in that offensive blue line is where they really, really cleaned up their play. And you can see, again, for offensive zone time, for chances, everything's went up. And it's because of how they're taking care of the puck in that neutral zone on that blue line.
How likely do you think it is that they can sustain this kind of play?
Well, I think it's very likely. I think they've understood, and I think Mike Sullivan has finally got them playing the right way. And I think the team knows that they need to do this to be successful. I think that month where they were, it was getting rough there. They weren't sure what their identity or how they needed to play to be successful. They were trying to outscore teams, trying to go chance for chance. And it seems like 5 to 10 games ago, they've really figured out, hey, we need to be a very structured team. We got to take care of the puck better than the other team because that's how we need to play. We don't have those high-scoring guys. And I mean, we don't have those high-flying guys. And they need to play structured, and that's how they're doing it. And it's great to see, again, I think there's, you know, even me, there's a lot of doubters. And I think with how they're playing, it's very sustainable. And you look through the league, you don't always have to have the most offensive team. You have to have the team that knows how to play the right way and being able to squeak out those tight games. And I think the only thing they need to clear up, and I think it's pretty evident, is that first shot, first goal. But it's crazy, but it doesn't even affect the Penguins anymore because they're used to it. And that's like crazy. Even last night, you know, they get scored on. I didn't see anyone on the bench get rattled. I didn't see any heads falling down. They just kind of went with the punches and they found their game. And again, they played a very good LA Kings team and they got a big win, a big confidence booster win.
Tyler Kennedy on the Penguins, who have won 7-10. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot, and they play in Nashville tomorrow night against a terrible Predators team, despite all the big moves they made this offseason. Hey, TK, happy holidays. We'll talk again soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks, boys. Have a great holiday.
There you go.
Man, do we have a Twitter moment that has just popped up.
Go ahead.
You tweeted out the following. I think it was just mere minutes ago.
Okay.
You sent out, question, if the Steelers signed AB, would he be their second-best wide receiver right now? My answer is unequivocally yes. P.S., I know it would never happen. AB has responded. Number one, champ. I'm a demon. I do not follow AB, but I saw Donnie immediately retweet him. And
man, what if Rob Pred actually creates something that becomes like a viral conversation? Sponsored by Coons Market, no less.
You think George Pickens likes seeing AB say, I'd be the best receiver on the Steelers right now?
Well, we'll have to see what Michael Brewerly has to say about it. Maybe.
What if he says you're clearly number two, but you are better than Van? I think,
you know,
Mike,
what? I could actually see Brewerly saying something stupid like that.
I can't, because I've just seen on his timeline him dapping up Van and like talking up all the other guys. He's actually been, if you're a Steelers fan wondering, is it all about, you know, George Pickens, the Michael Brewerly feed and George's actual Instagram that's under his own name have been very team-focused here.
Matt texted in and asked if Charlie actually ate the sub that
Pratt gave him. It was a chicken sandwich, right, Charlie? Did you eat it? You thought he tore it in half so that you could have safely eaten it, that there were no bite marks. It just looked like he ripped the damn thing in half like a phone book.
I gracefully went to the other side of the venue and threw it in the trash.
Oh. Pony, what would you do in that situation?
I think I would have eaten it.
I think if it looks obvious, if I have somehow seen Rob cut it cleanly with a knife using, I don't know, what I would call sanitary practices, if I thought it looked good enough, I'd probably eat it.
I didn't see it pre-cut, though. That's the thing.
See, if he just hands me like a ripped-up chicken sandwich, I think I'm doing the same thing you did.
Fanweather Low 30 tonight. We are live at Mike's Beer Bar for our Christmas karaoke event. This place is going to be a mob scene later on tonight. We'd love to get you down here. It's our big meet and greet with fan listeners and friends of the show and whatnot. So come down and see us. We'll buy you drinks. We'll have fun. We'll enjoy the holiday season together. Coming up next, Lamar Jackson on Saturday. Will the Steelers' run of dominance over him continue? We'll debate it. Quick timeout, and we're right back on the Fan.
On the Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington, my new favorite spot in the city. Hey, guys, it's Donnie Football. Happy hour starting in about 90 seconds, and that goes for 3 hours, 3:30 until 6:30. The kitchen goes until almost midnight. An awesome menu up there for everyone, even vegan options. If you want to go that route, get some friends, head up to the Steel Mill Saloon. They have plenty of space for any party or event. A great spot for sports, food, and beer. The Steel Mill Saloon, meet me there in Mount Washington.